It's time to buckle up and get ready for a different kind of sports show. It's the JT and BT Express here on Fox Sports New Jersey.
From the Coffee Sports Collectibles Studios at Fox Sports Radio in beautiful downtown Somerset, New Jersey. It's time for the JT and the BT Express Show, All Things Sports, starring former New York Giants legend Billy Taylor. All right, Billy. And me, legend in my own mind, Jim Totten. Nobody cares. And we are featuring our wonderful sponsor, Mr. U Coffee of Coffee Sports Collectibles. U, thank you for sponsoring, sir. That's great. Welcome to the show here on a Sunday in July. We've got a lot going on. We're live. One thing great about a Sunday morning 11 a.m. show here Eastern Time is football season would be before the football games, which is great. But it's also you get these right. Overseas events, like right now we've got the British Open or the Open going on, and it's great to wake up and have your coffee and croissants and and watch golf, and actually our first guest is going to be talking about that in a minute, and we're going to get to her pretty much right away. But hi guys, how are you? Billy Taylor?
I'm always good, man. How are you?
All right, I'm doing good. You Coffee, how are you?
Good, Mark. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
All right, we're in the middle of summer here in Jersey, and beautiful day, actually.
Yeah, it is.
We kind of got rid of some of that heat, but we're going to move on here. Our guest, we're going to pop on right away because I think she is either at the airport or about to take off, so we don't want to keep her too long, but she's got a couple of minutes. She's one of the great ladies in the sports world. We know her. We know her and love her, but she's a nationally renowned sports radio and cable sports talk show host, interviewer, reporter, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. She does all that, and she's absolutely amazing. And besides all that, she's one hell of a nice lady. So thanks for the couple of minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ann Liguori.
Wow.
Everybody sneezes.
How are you?
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Sounds like there are thousands of people right there in your studio.
I know. We've got all kinds. Yeah, we have room for 5,000 in our stands here.
And it sounds like they're all there.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Now, where are you? Are you at the airport or?
I'm on my way to JFK. I'm actually going to Ireland tonight through Saturday.
Oh.
But I did my show this morning from 8 to 9 talking golf on The Fan. So I'm here on Sunday morning to do my live show, and then I'm going to head out to Ireland tonight and come back Saturday in time to do my show again next Sunday.
Yeah. So, oh, perfect timing. That's great.
In fact,
and I think Coffee, our a sponsor for the show. So we thank him and he pops on the air as well. And you're going to say hi to Mr. Taylor in a minute too. But you were listening to the show coming in and show coming in, right?
Yes, I was morning from 8 to 9. I was in Ireland actually last year at this time. And
wonderful.
So, Anna, I've listened to you when you're on another channel, and I won't say how many years ago, but so I'm a fan, and I just want to congratulate you on your career, being a pioneer for women and all your accomplishments.
You're sweet. Yeah, I started on the other station in 1987.
Wow.
I was only 12. But, I did that Hey Liguori, What's the Story show for 25 years.
Oh, my gosh. It was 25.
Yep, 25 years, and where I talked about all sports. And I took a break from FAN. It was on the Golf Channel with the primetime show. Had my sports interview show for 17 years.
Wow.
And then now have Talking Golf back on The Fan. So, it's good to be on, right?
I'll tell you, that's going to lead to one of the things that we're going to talk about today is your new book, which is great. But the interviews were kind of along that. You had amazing interviews on the interview show. I mean, legends, Ann, legends, right?
Yeah, my first interview was actually in 1989. That show aired for 17 years on MSG Network and various you know, I syndicated it throughout the country on sports cable networks. And Mickey Mantle was my first guest.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Just my idol. My idol.
And, you know, I had people like Ted Williams on.
Yeah.
Hank Aaron and Wilt Chamberlain and Gordie Howell. And, you know, I was in my 20s at the time, and I would talk to these legends who were much older, and they were so willing to talk, and they wanted to share their success stories, right? So it was just a thrill to talk to all these legends that I had read about. Of course, you know, I wasn't around when they played.
Right.
But it was so great to get their perspective on their careers. And they were great storytellers, all of them. You know, Yogi and Stan Musial and everybody. You know, I just, you know, Jim Brown.
And oh, wow.
That show was...
Yeah.
That show aired for 17 years.
And Annie,
sports interview. And now I own the rights to the entire archive.
Oh, great, great.
Licensed out the footage.
Annie, you've been living a heck of a life for a long time. I haven't seen you in a while. Were we supposed to play? Were we supposed to play tennis or something like that? What was it back then? Because you know, when you said it, those years of the fan, that's when I started also. And I think I used to argue with you about who was a better tennis player or me. You know.
Well, yeah, we did play some tennis together, BT. It's been a while. How in the heck are you? It's so good to talk to you.
I'm outstanding. I was excited you were coming on because people don't know how long we've been knowing each other because I know that you're only in your late 30s, but you look good, I'm telling you.
You guys are all in your 30s.
I was looking at your picture and said, man, she is something. But you know, what I really liked is the people that inspired you. You know, I was trying to, you know, I was watching the WNBA All-Star game last night, and I just was telling my little girl how far women have come in sports. I think they're taking over, to be honest with you, but you have to be one of the leaders of that. So what are the things you're most proudest of? Because I was happy way back then when you did your shows and you did your golf stuff, and I was really proud of you then. And even now, you've gone to a heck of a level, and you're still you're still humble, and that's what I like about you.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, look, you know, it wasn't easy back in the day. There weren't that many women, as you know, doing sports talk, right, particularly on sports radio, and WFAN was the first all-sports radio station, and I was the first female to host a call-in sports show, and Susan Waldman was the first voice to be on the station, and, you know, she was an update person back then, and look at her incredible career.
Amazing.
And so, you know, it was hard back then because, especially as a talk show host, you know, the traditional mindset out there they hadn't heard women talking sports, so it was hard to get accepted. But you know who my very first guest was? And I tell this story because I'm so appreciative that he actually said yes, he'd be on the show, because when I asked him to be a guest on my show, WFAN hadn't even started yet.
Wow.
And it was going to be on the air in like 2 weeks, and I wanted to record. He was the hottest story in sports at that time, and it was Doc Gooden. You know, the Mets had just won the World Series in 86, and he had just gotten out of Smithers rehab, and I went right up to him at Shea Stadium back then and asked him if he'd come on the show, and the PR director there, who I'm very friendly with, wouldn't let anybody like get near the guy and talk to him, but I don't know what got into me. I just thought, you know, he's the hottest story in town. I got to ask him, right?
Right.
And when I asked him to come on the show, he said, absolutely.
Oh,
and then I had to take him away from where all the other reporters were.
Yep.
I didn't want them to hone in on my exclusive.
Right.
So I asked him to come to the Jets locker room back then. You know, the Mets and the Jets shared that stadium. And he said, sure. So we meander ourselves through these hordes of reporters. We go into the Jets locker room. I record my interview with Doc Gooden, and that was the very first interview on my Hey Liguori, What's the Story show.
Wow.
And, you know, we started off the show with a bang. I mean, it was July 4th, 1987.
Right.
And I remember that. I remember that.
It got written up in all the papers.
Wow.
And, you know, I just kind of, you had to really establish as a female a credibility really quick, you know, and I felt like I did that. So,
But you had to know what you were talking about. And you had to know what you're talking about because everybody was checking you out. Everybody.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, right. They were, you know, they had harsh judgments.
And I remember that.
Absolutely.
You had to know the material. Let me just put it this way. Either as good or probably better
than
the guy.
Yep.
Because women were judged more harshly back then. So hopefully it's changed a lot today. I mean, I know there's a lot more women being sports broadcasters, and there are a lot more channels and a lot more seemingly opportunities for men and women, but back then, you know, there weren't that many opportunities for women in sports broadcasting. So we had to make the most of it, and we did open doors, hopefully, for women that are doing it now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned about with the interviews, you know, doing those interviews with these guys. Do you think was a plus or a minus for you to be a woman asking those questions with some of these big stars? Were you think they were more comfortable with you, or they were a little, you know?
Well, I think you had to prove that you really knew what you were talking
about. Right.
I did so much research, and I still do. Before I host any show or do any interview, I try to do as much research on the subject as I can. And back then, gosh, there were no computers. There were no cell phones. So I would cut out articles in newspapers. I'd go to the diner. I was living in the city. I'd go to a diner right down the street, five or six newspapers.
Exactly.
And I would take notes and cut out articles on people that I thought I would interview.
Right.
And I kept files on every different personality that I thought I would one day interview.
Right.
And that's how we did our research.
Yeah, I know.
Now it's so easy. You just go on Google and you can put anything in there. But back then, it was a little more labor and expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're sitting here. Of course, you know, I have my iPhone in front of me. I got the iPad in front of me. You know, and all your computers.
Exactly.
Right, everything ready. All Anne Liguori all over the desk. Okay. No, but it is funny. But actually, though, because I'm old school myself, because I guess I'm old. But, you know, I still do have the newspapers here. And I'm sitting here with the New York Post.
The physical newspaper.
I know.
Listen, there is nothing like holding a newspaper in your hand. And I hope that will continue.
I hope
that doesn't become completely obsolete.
I know.
You know, obviously, we all look online for the stories and research. But I have to say, there's nothing like holding a real newspaper in your hand. And I really miss that sometimes.
Right.
And what do you think is going on with the PGA at LIV merger? Is that going to happen or is that a done deal?
Well, I know they're negotiating, and if you listen to Tiger Woods, he's very involved on that policy board. He says, you know, they're getting closer. I just find it to be, there are a lot of question marks.
Right.
If they come in, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, if they come in and invest all that money, and we're talking billions of dollars in the PGA Tour, what would be their return of investment, right? And the PGA Tour does not want to lose control.
Right.
So therein lies why I think there's so many layers to these negotiations and why it's taking so long, because the PGA Tour does not want to lose control. Yet what does the Saudi, you know, with all that money, what do they get? They certainly want a voice and a seat at the table, which they would get.
Of course.
And it just depends on how much the PGA Tour is willing to give up, I think. So I think they're just trying to lay out something that obviously both parties agree on, and it's not something that can be done quickly. You know, how many PGA Tour players, how many PGA Tour tournaments would LIV players be able to play if they're already contracted to LIV?
Yeah.
How would they be folded back into the mix? Does Tiger and the rest of the PGA Tour board want these guys who left the PGA Tour, they bolted for LIV to take all that money? Does Tiger really want to see these guys back in on the PGA Tour to have their cake and eat it too?
Right.
Yeah, but
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I agree with you also, but I just think that it's going to make a big impact either way, because I was trying to figure, you know, if I was an athlete, would I want to do LIV or the PGA? And I always, you know, kind of geared myself toward the PGA because that's kind of how I brought up on it. But it seems like it could have a merger pretty soon. But then will it take golf to the level it wants to be?
Well, you know, and the money's just gotten ridiculous.
Yep.
And,
ridiculous.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The PGA Tour paid their star athletes for loyalty.
Yep.
Because they already got billions of dollars invested from the strategic sports group, SSG, made up of American wealthy partners. So money, you just don't want money to spoil golf. Money is, I think, the root of many evils.
Absolutely.
You want the guys to be paid and women to be paid, you know, what they deserve, but you don't want it to be the main focus because it turns off people. It really turns off the average fan, I think.
It's all about
when
money.
All you're talking about is money.
Right.
And
all
these guys
do
the money grab.
But I think on the LIV, they get paid even if they don't place. Is that correct? On LIV.
Oh, yeah. They get.
See, I think that's
they
not.
They got paid to jump over.
Yep.
And then, well, they get paid, you know, very well to win. Not-
on Live.
Oh yeah, they get.
See, I think that's
they
not.
They got paid to jump over.
Yep.
And then, well, they get paid, you know, very well to win. Not only in the individual competition, but they also have a team competition, yep. which I think. I just think Live's very hard to follow. I'll try to watch it a little bit on TV. I just think it's hard to follow the whole team concept and with the music blasting and you know I guess when you go to some of these Live events, I know in Australia they had a great crowd and they're attracting a whole different kind of golf audience.
You know,
a lot younger.
Right.
But
right.
It's really hard for me to kind of watch it on television.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the graphics or what. But it's a hard watch.
I swear, and you know, it's funny, and they're on the WB. You know, they're on the lesser networks right now. And I'm like you. And I've tried in the last year, right, guys? I've tried to put those things Sunday afternoon. There was nothing else on. All right, let me watch Live. And like you said, Anna, I couldn't figure out. All right, so the team, this is the blue team. And, you know, and they got the score. There's Mickelson. And he's got shorts on. What the hell's going on?
And the music is flashing. Yeah. You know, it's a whole different kind of watch.
I know.
Some people enjoy it, but... I don't know. You know, I prefer the traditional PGA Tour.
I know.
This is where these guys made their name, and they made millions
yep.
on the PGA Tour. And I just think it's a whole question of loyalty versus money and greed and going for it. But now everybody's making so much money. So
yep.
I guess bottom line is I think the agents are very influential.
Yep.
John Rahm, who bolted
right.
last year
mm-hmm.
for tons of money.
Right.
I you know, after he did so well on the PGA Tour and he went to Live, he seemed miserable this
yep.
early in the year.
Yep.
Didn't do well in the first two majors. Didn't actually withdrew from the U.S. Open with a toe infection. And he did make the cut. He actually started really well this morning in the final mm-hmm. round. I think he had he birdied the first three holes.
Right.
But, you know, it's just I think these guys really do miss. Especially if they won on the PGA Tour,
yep.
I really think they won't say it, but I think they do miss
absolutely.
The attention and being relevant, because I do think
yep.
being on Live has made them slightly irrelevant.
You're exactly right also. And just switching up for a second, Colin Montgomery said something about Tiger, and I was just kind of wanted you to think about what was your way of thought, because he said that he shouldn't be out there playing, basically, and then Tiger responded about how he's exempt from so many different events. But I don't like Colin Montgomery anyway because of things that happened years ago. But your thoughts on what he said?
Yeah, Colin Montgomery. Gosh, is he brutally honest or
yeah.
what? he got tons of ink earlier in the week with his comments about Tiger. He was questioning why he's still playing.
Yeah.
He basically said, aren't we there? I've had thought we were past there.
Right.
He said,
right.
there's a time for all sportsmen to say goodbye, but it's very difficult to tell Tiger it's time to go. Obviously, he still feels he can win. We are more realistic.
Yeah, I know.
And to which Tiger replied when he was asked in the press conference, well, as a past champion, I'm still exempt until I'm 60.
Yeah.
Colin is not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. He doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
Oh,
so, yeah. I mean, the big question is, how long will Tiger want to play? I mean, he made the cut at the Masters, came in dead last. He did not make the cut at the PGA Championship. He did not make the cut at the U.S. Open, and he did not make the cut here at the Open Championship at Troon. His numbers are so, just exorbitant. He's
like
not
mine.
Used to shooting those numbers, but, you know, he's just his body. He can't play that much.
No,
his body
no.
won't allow it. He had that near-fatal car accident in 2021, and he hasn't obviously been the same since. He keeps saying his body's getting stronger, but he can't put in the prep time to practice for these tournaments.
Right,
and
right.
I just think he wants to stay relevant by playing in the major championships. And he's on these important boards,
yep.
negotiating with the Saudis.
Sure.
So, and maybe endorsement-wise, he just wants to play a couple, test himself, see how he does. But I don't know how he can really stomach the crazy scores, the bad scores.
Yeah,
because,
you're
talking about a guy who... was the greatest golfer in the world for so long.
Ever.
But I think, Andy, his son has something to do with that, too, the reason he keeps playing, because I think his son, Charlie, is going to be a top-rated golfer pretty soon.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Charlie Woods qualified for the U.S. Junior Amateur Championship. Mm-hmm. And Tiger, after he did not make the cut at Royal Troon, obviously flying over the tournament is in the United States, obviously. So he's flying over to watch his son and be with his son in the U.S. Junior Amateur Championship. But they have a really great bond.
Yep.
They love playing together in that PNC Championship in Orlando every December.
Right, yes, yes.
And I think you're right. I think he's just really enjoying kind of showing his son the ropes.
Yep.
And trying to do well in these majors, because, you know, when he was winning, the kids were so small, they didn't know. And all they know of Tiger's career is what they probably see on television and what they see on the internet. So, I think you're right, Billy. I think, you know, he just is trying to stay relevant and be there for his son.
Yep.
And share the wonderful moments that golf has for fathers and sons.
Yep.
And mothers and daughters, and it's just a great game to bond.
It's
and you
priceless.
See that so beautifully with Tiger and his son Charlie.
Yeah, and I love Tiger's response, because he said he's exempt until he's 60, and he earned that. And I think he should be able to play as much as he wants. I think what he did for golf back in the day and got them on the TV and stuff like that, I think he earned to be able to play until he wants, until he thinks it's time for him not to play anymore.
Well, and you know, obviously, every time he shows up anywhere, the ratings are up.
Of course,
through the roof. Still gets the biggest galleries.
I know.
So, of course, tournaments want him to play. In fact, the PGA Tour gave him a special exemption in all his signature events if he wants to play in those tournaments. Now, he has not said he's going to play in any events beyond perhaps the majors, and he likes, you know, he has his own tournament in the Bahamas.
Right.
And then he has this PNC championship that he plays with his son. But I just think he's seeing how his body does. And
yeah.
I mean, he literally, in some regards, if it's a very hilly golf course like Augusta National, it's hard for him to walk. So he struggles with that. I thought he would do a lot better on a flatter course like this Royal Troon.
Yeah.
But look, he doesn't really can't get out there in match play and get these true tests, and that's the only way you can really get back to, you know, how good you are is to play against the greatest competition in the world and these major championships, major moments. And he just doesn't, he's not able to put himself in those situations enough to be good to you know, to practice enough to be competitive.
You know, what do you think, Ann, because you're in New York, too, you know, Mark Cannizzaro for the Post, you know, big-time golf writer. But, you know, and his headline today is that Tiger's now just a ceremonial golfer, but he refuses to accept it. There was that thing, and then a couple of days ago, just get your comment on it. And also, somebody else quoted him about, the painkillers. He's taking a lot of painkillers, and somebody said, look at his eyes. Now, that's, I don't know. Well, what do you think of those thoughts? I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he is a ceremonial golfer right now. The reason, and we outlined a few reasons why I think he's still playing. But, look, how beat up his body is, he has to be taking painkillers. And before he can even go out, he has to spend hours, you know, with the trainers.
Right.
Stretching and taking cold baths and whatever they do, you know, to get ready. So that's all those hours of prep work. And then after he plays, he does go through pretty much the same routine just to you know, get his body in a position. I mean, he was just so beat up. The guy almost died.
I mean, I know.
Crushed his legs and ankles, and they put him back together somehow, like the bionic man. But, yeah, you have to wonder how long, you know, and he did say he wouldn't play a tournament if he thinks he's taken the place of somebody who is eligible and who does qualify, which is what happens when, you know, he's in a tournament. He's playing and somebody who perhaps is, you know, has qualified to play isn't in that event. So that's happening almost every time he plays anyway. It'll be interesting to see how many more of these miscuts and terrible performances he'll be able to tolerate.
But I think he has a vision, and it's possible, Andy, that, you know, he could get better somehow, because you remember the quarterback who played with the Washington Redskins, Alex Smith? he probably had a worse injury than Tiger did, and really he came back. I mean, he was it's a quarterback, so it's a different thing. I'm hopeful that he will be able, because he's only in his 40s, because I remember Jack Nicklaus won a tournament at 46 or 48, and I think that he wasn't in great shape. But really what I'm asking is, when I started watching golf, and I think maybe you and I talked about it a long, long time ago, the condition of golfers has improved tremendously. Yes. I remember I used to see guys with big bellies and smoking cigarettes and stuff like
exactly.
that. And I think Tiger
which
brought
John
that.
John Daly.
John Daly. Yeah. He's had some videos lately, actually.
Unbelievable. I know. No, you're right. They spend so many hours in the gym. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, speaking of age, Justin Rose, who's 43 years old. Yeah. He won the U.S. Open back in 2013. He's at -6 right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the leaderboard too. I know.
Yeah, just one shot behind the leader, and this leader is a guy named Thrifton Lawrence.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask.
Africa.
I wanted to jump in on that. What do you know about him?
Well, he's from South Africa. He's won 4 times on the DP World Tour, and that's about all I know about this guy, because I've never seen him play before.
Really? Wow.
He's leading, but you know the thing is, it's. This leaderboard is so bizarre because so many of the top stars, 10 of the top 20 players did not make the cut.
I know.
Rory McIlroy did not make the cut.
Unbelievable.
Bryson DeChambeau did not make the cut. Ludwig Aubert, who's just super young.
Who's been hot, right.
Who a lot of people picked to win it. He did not make the cut. Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood.
I know.
The list goes on and on of guys who did not make the cut.
Amazing.
And then you have this leaderboard. Billy Herschel.
Yeah.
Who's been, you know, he's been around a long time.
Right.
He was leading by one heading into this final round. And, you know, his ranking is, 62 in the world?
I was going to say mid-something, right?
But being a Florida guy, you'd wonder, you know, how Billy Horschel could do well in these crazy Scottish conditions. Especially yesterday, it was just brutal.
I heard it was nasty.
Sideways,
right.
So much wind.
Windy,
But interesting, this little-known Thrifton Lawrence. Well, he does play on the European Tour, so people would know him over there. He's ahead by one right now at 7-under, and Justin Rose is one behind. And, of course, you have Xander Schauffele is 2 back, and Xander won the PGA Championship this year. So Xander was my pick this morning to win it. But, look, I mean, it's so close. Anything can happen.
Royal Troon. So you played all those courses over there, or have you? I know you go there, but you're part of.
Yeah, I know. I go to Ireland a lot more than I go to Scotland, but I love Scotland, and I played Royal Troon a number of years ago.
Okay.
And I just love the golf course and the history there, and you know Prestwick is right near it, and Prestwick hosted the first couple Open Championships, and then Royal Troon has hosted 10 Open Championships.
Wow, so, really?
You know, there's nothing like that postage stamp hole, the par 3 8th hole, which is unbelievable. It's
crazy.
It's like today it's playing 100 yards. Yesterday I think it was playing 130 yards.
Oh, really?
It is the shortest hole in championship golf, but treacherous. I mean, it's just brutal, and I love it. This guy who won in the 1880s, Willie Park Jr., he won 2 Open in the 1880s. He described it as a pitching surface skimmed down to the size of a postage stamp. And the name stuck because you have this this green that looks like it's pear-shaped.
Yeah.
It's very hard to hold the green. There's 5 bunkers.
Wow. Yes. Incredible.
Around this green, including one bunker that's rectangular.
Yeah.
And it's called the coffin.
Yes. Rory had a couple of issues there the other day, did he not?
Oh, yeah.
All right. McIlroy had. He couldn't get out of it, for God's sake.
That's a tough one to get out.
I'm sure.
You
got
hit back to get out.
Maybe buried in there to this day.
Billy's right. You had to back to get out.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson had an incredible shot out of there yesterday. Of course, he had to go backwards.
Yeah.
A weird stance because it was kind of on the edge. And but to see these guys kind of navigate with their short games in brutal conditions, windy and rainy, it's just really compelling golf to watch for sure.
Do you think that's the big test of golf is when they go over to Scotland or Ireland? Because you know, the elements are different. The wind is crazy. And those bunkers, you know, I've been in a bunker in Barbados where it was 10 feet high, and then I had to get off the back wall to get out. Do you think that is probably even though they started golf, do you think that's the true test? Because Tiger said he wanted to play that one because he wouldn't have to walk as much.
Yeah.
But do you think that's a true test of golf?
Well, yeah, with the weather conditions, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get six seasons in a day when you go to Scotland.
Right.
Perfect. You never know what the conditions are going to be like. Like yesterday, it was mild. So the guys who got out early yesterday scored low.
Yep.
And then know what the conditions are going to be like. Like yesterday, it was mild. So the guys who got out early yesterday scored low.
Yep.
And then they didn't even have the conditions that were so severe yesterday afternoon, that wasn't even forecasted, apparently.
Yeah.
It was just pelting, raining sideways, and the wind was brutal. And so to play the wind, it just takes so much mental, thought. And you're exhausted mentally and physically. You're playing in these crazy wind. I mean, I've been over there, and sometimes you can't even pull the cart because you walk over there. Don't normally, even amateur golfers normally would not take golf carts over there. You walk and you take a pull cart, and sometimes it's so windy that it's hard to even walk and pull your clubs because of the wind. If you're against the wind, so the conditions over there are brutal, and it's I think the toughest test in golf when you have those conditions, for sure.
Yeah, and I heard Little Birdie told me that you were at a nail salon and someone walked in recently.
That I was what?
At a nail salon and somebody walked in.
yesterday.
I told you I listened to the show.
Oh, that was from the show today.
So, I mean, imagine my shock when Derek Jeter walks in.
Get out. Did he really?
With his little girl, who's adorable, and he's encouraging her to pick out the nail color. What color do you want? And I just thought, I was so tempted to, like, take my phone out and just, like, tape the whole thing.
You should have.
Well, that could have been an interview, right?
I know. He deserves his privacy. He's
right,
100%.
Right.
Child. So I really restrained myself.
That's great.
I did talk to him, and he was just so nice. And he said it was the first time ever he's been in the Hamptons, which I was surprised.
Really?
Shocking.
Yeah, you would think Derek would be there, right.
Yeah, he got out of the heat in Miami for a little bit.
Right.
And he's enjoying the family
with
his family, and he's not really playing any golf because he has too many responsibilities as a father.
right. And the baseball stuff, right.
Yeah.
Speaking
of him, and what a surprise. I think it was kind of strange. I think of all the people in that nail salon, I might have been the only one that really recognized them.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Bizarre.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, everybody's like doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Eric Jeter didn't get recognized. Wow.
I noticed everything. And, of course, when Derek Jeter walked in, I'm certainly going to notice that. It was fun to see him and visit with him for a little bit. It was awesome.
And Life on the Green, the new book.
Yeah,
it looks fabulous.
Life on the Green. Thank you. I highly recommend it for anybody, whether you're a golfer or not. Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. I talked to 12 legends of golf, 6 men, 6 women. And it's all about their great stories, their success stories, and what they've learned from their iconic golf careers that they use in their day-to-day life. So it's really more about life wisdom. You know me, I love the cerebral part of sports. And you just learn so much playing sports and so much particularly playing golf. It's a microcosm of life. And it's all about, Gary Player talks about pursuing your passion, no matter how young or old you are. We're only here for a short time. Just love what you do. So pursue your passion.
Wow. And Gary's 82 or something, isn't he?
He's 88.
88.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's still playing golf every day.
Yeah.
He's
amazing. He's amazing. Yeah.
He's unbelievable. What an inspiration he is. And Jack Nicklaus talks about integrity and sportsmanship and putting family first. And, he has a bunch of kids and 22 grandchildren. He's always been such a great role model for not only his family, but for, the young tour pros out there who always seek his advice. Annika talks about there are no shortcuts to success. Annika Sorenstam. And she tells this great story when she was 15 years old. She was on a range practicing golf, and it was pouring rain. So she called her dad, "Come on, pick me up, Dad. It's raining." And he comes to the range, and he picks her up. And they're leaving, and all the other junior players were still out there hitting balls in the rain, in the pouring rain. And her father looked at Annika and said, "Annika,
get out there."
She said, "There are no shortcuts to success.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Look at all those other kids out there." And she was just gutted. I mean, her own father was questioning her work ethic back then. And so it really had a huge effect on her. And, of course, years later, all the titles that she won, one of the winningest players in history, you know, obviously we know she has a work ethic. But it's just the stories are incredible, like what really shaped these champions. To excel. And, you know, Bernard Langer, the winningest player in senior golf.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
PGA Tour champions, talks about he came from such a humble background, very poor family. And he goes into great detail about that. I was just blown away by a lot of the stories I heard. I've been covering golf for, you know, 30 years, and I learned so many new stories from these legends. And, you know, Padraig Harrington, who is playing in this championship at Royal Troon, talks about the fact that he is not only nervous when he heads to the first tee, but he has fear.
Wow.
He's actually fearful. And what a revelation from one of the top golfers in the world. I mean, that he's not just nervous, that he's afraid his game won't show up or he'll shank it off the first tee.
Amazing.
Can you imagine? And his message is really to embrace fear, not to let fear, you know, take over your life, but embrace it and work with it. So, I mean, the messages in the book are universal themes, and so I think everybody will be inspired by the book. So I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, and like I thought you did a wonderful job. I really did. And the I knew you would. I mean, this is not your first book, and that's the thing.
Not your first rodeo.
Nancy Lopez, who I met many, many years ago because her husband was played third base.
Right.
And
Mr. Ray,
what did you learn from him, and what was the inspiration for Nancy Lopez?
Oh, man, Nancy is amazing. Nancy Lopez is all about positivity. In fact, her mantra is called play happy golf.
Uh-huh.
And that's what she does. And, you know, in real life, it's so hard to stay positive. I mean, you may have something go sour at work that is bothering you, or something in your personal life is really, really not what it should be. And it's so easy to get down and out. But her message is to stay positive. And in golf, that's hard to do because you're only as good as your last good shot. And it's such a challenging game. It's
really
the most difficult game out there, I feel, and a lot of people will agree with me. Even like the superstars and, you know, Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky and all these great athletes.
Charles Barkley.
You know, exactly. Billy Taylor. They'll say it's just like on the planet.
The Express.
But you have to stay positive. Forget about the bad shot.
Right.
Stay in the present. And, you know, the great thing about golf is there's always the next opportunity. And I think that's what you have to hold close to your heart in life.
How did you
stay positive?
How did you pick the dozen or so that you interviewed, Ann, or how did you narrow it down for the book?
That's a good question. You know, I wanted men and women. So I wanted great role models. I wanted personalities who are Hall of Famers. All of them have Hall of Fame careers.
Sure.
You know, Ben Crenshaw, Tom Watson, Jack Nicklaus, Padre.
Legends.
Annika,
legends.
Nancy Lopez. Jan Stevenson has an amazing story. And they're going to, you know, there'll be a major motion picture about her life coming out within the next couple years.
Right.
This woman named Renee Powell from Ohio, who was the second African-American female to ever play the LPGA. She has an incredible story. It's just so inspirational. They're just all great storytellers, and they all really wanted to be in the book. They thanked me for including it in the book.
Nice.
Which was incredible.
Nice.
I was at the Masters, and Ben Crenshaw is thanking me for including him as one of the 12.
I know. You're like, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? unbelievable. So
that's great.
You know, I just really wanted to go for positive stories. I didn't want to talk about anything divisive.
Yeah, right.
I didn't want to talk about the PJ Tour versus Liv. I didn't want to talk about how our society has become so divisive. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I just really wanted it to be uplifting, and that's what I've accomplished. And I think everybody will. It's a feel good book, and you're going to really learn a lot about these great champions. You know, while you feel good about yourself and are motivated by their wisdom.
Yep.
Yes, and like you, I do my homework. I went on Amazon today. I bought your book.
Oh, good.
And I looked at the reviews. I didn't see anyone less than a 5-star. The reviews were great. Even people that don't watch or play golf said they bought the book, and they said it was great. I mean, people who watch golf love it.
Right.
But people who didn't like golf still love the book, they said, or play or watch
it. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, that's what I really wanted to accomplish. I wanted it to be positive and inspirational to everybody. A universal book for men, for women, for young people, for older people, whomever. And yes, the reviews have been great. And the great Jim Nance wrote the foreword.
Yes.
Nice.
Your buddy, Mr. Nance, over there.
Who's a good golfer, also.
Yes, he is.
Tony Romo's partner.
And if you're a Rush fan, Alex Lifeson, Hall of Fame guitarist, also gave me advanced praise in the book. So I tried to get a lot of great praise from different personalities before the book even, hit the stands. So you can go to Amazon and order it. You'll have it by tomorrow. On the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf.
There you go. Okay, update on the leaderboard. I feel like I belong with Nance over here. So our Lawrence guy, Ann, he's 7-under now.
Yeah, he's leading by one. It's 7-under through 10 holes. It's Thriston Lawrence of South Africa. Can you imagine if this guy were to win? My God. Justin Rose, who we love, Justin Rose, 43 years old.
Great story.
US Open, as I said, in 2013. It's been 4,053 days since he won the U.S. Open. Since he won a major, how do you like that?
He's due.
Unbelievable. And then Xander Schauffele is 5-under. And anybody, Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
I made the mistake and called him Sean this morning.
Oh,
and somebody
boy.
Called me on it. Shane, who I've known forever. I love him.
He had a rough
Shane
day.
Shane Lowry is 3-under through 12, 4 shots back. So, look, anything could happen. And that's why we watch it, right? Because it's exciting. There's no rain. The weather looks great. There's hardly any wind out there right now. So
and, for people that love that with the leaderboard, of course, and like half of that leaderboard is I see the American flag next to them. So the Americans are doing quite well over there.
That's right. You got Xander Schauffele, you got Henley, you got Horschel.
Scotty is right there.
Guys can win. So
They're
coming down the stretch here on the back nine. So it should be really compelling. I can't wait to see the finish here.
And then you're going to Ireland, right? And this is ending over in Scotland. Well, look at you. That's awesome.
I know. I'm going to have to be watching the end of this this Open Championship on my phone as I head to the airport.
Right. All right. We don't want to take up.
Ireland will host the Open Championship at next year at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Really great. They hosted it back in 2018, and Shane Lowry won it then.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, hey, Ann, is that why they changed the name from is that why they changed the name from British Open to Open?
Well, they call it.
No, I mean, it's always been the Open Championship. Yeah, it's just in our country, it's easier to refer to it as the British Open.
Right.
Because we have the U.S. Open, but, they like it to be known throughout the world as the Open Championship. So, there you go.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Ann, we don't want to take up any more of your time. You've been so gracious. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Hey, what a thrill to be on your show and to catch up with you guys. And thanks again for getting the book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. And let's do it again soon.
Hey, good luck to you, Ann. Always good to hear from you.
And the fans go wild.
Okay, Ann, there you go. You love it. Okay, what's the story, Ann Liguori? Okay, thank you so much.
Again.
Yay! All right, that was great. Okay, we do have a few commercials we have to get to, so we'll get to them and then be right back, guys.
That seals away germy tissues.
And we've all been here.
Okay,
but what, little girl? Is that enough?
I'm Maya, and I've had bad allergies for years, so this used to be me. But I'm here to save you and the world from gross. I've invented a tissue dispenser with a used tissue bin. It's reusable and seals the boogies and germs away.
Order your handy tissues box today at tissues.com.
Everybody sneezes, gets a cold,
and germs away.
Order your handy tissues box today at tissues.com.
Everybody sneezes, gets a cold, or has allergies, and messy, germy tissues are left everywhere because you never have a trash can that seals away germs where you need it. Now there is. I'm Dr. Howard, here to prescribe Tissues, the revolutionary patented new germ-fighting dynamo that seals away germy tissues everywhere. Okay, I'm not a real doctor, just an actor. We don't need a PhD to know that leaving used tissues around is gross. If you use tissues, you need Tissues, the amazing new tissue box holder with a built-in used tissue container. It's easy to empty and wash or spray with Germ Patrol, the amazing new antiviral spray with EPA approval for COVID-19, included with your purchase. Nobody gets out of bed at 2 a.m. to find a trash can, but you can always keep Tissues within easy reach. Take it everywhere. It's perfect for people with limited mobility. Get Tissues with Germ Patrol, a $40 value for only $24.95 plus shipping and handling.
You're listening to the JT and BT Sports Express Show here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey.
Okay, we are back, guys. Anne was terrific, wasn't she?
She was amazing.
She's fascinating. She's so classy forever, knows her stuff.
100%, 100%. You know?
So it just made me go, and I have so much energy now. I feel, oh, whoa. Sounds like a percolator. It must be time for coffee. It's Coffee's Corner with starring Hugh Coffee, our weekly segment with our wonderful sponsor, Coffee Sports Collectibles. Hugh, what do you got today?
Thanks, Jim. All right, guys. Good day to all here at Coffee's Sports Collectibles, which you should follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Absolutely.
Same name, Coffee Sports Collectibles, and Tissues. You can follow them also on Facebook and
great product.
Anywho, we're going to be at TD Bank Park on Thursday to watch the Somerset Patriots play.
Big announcement!
Doesn't matter who they're playing.
Portland. They're playing.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, the Portland.
We will be there. Set up. We're going to do a live show from there. It's going to be
taped live playback Sunday.
Right. So we're going to be doing that. We'll be set up with a tent. Come look for us, and I will have some product.
Fantastic. Gotta check it out.
Some of the Patriots, like Elijah Dunham, and some Yankees. You know, like Oswaldo Cabrera, Austin Wells balls,
nice.
Clark Schmidt. We have a bunch of stuff there for sale, and we'll be doing a live radio show there with my two great colleagues.
Great,
and it should be a good time. And if you guys want, we're going to do a little contest to have giveaway tickets. Jim will give more about that.
Well, we do have some tickets as part of the deal. So you want to
call
offer
in
them
now.
If they want to call in? Or
the number is 732-545-9282. Call now for tickets, 732-545-9282.
Why don't we offer, like, two pairs of tickets?
All right.
Right? Do you have any two kind pair of question? Or they just, if they
nah,
call
Nah, just
in,
call. Just call. No questions.
Call in, you get the tickets. Right. Be two pairs, then. It's for Thursday night, 7:05 game, Somerset Patriots against the Portland team.
Right.
And a thrill. We're all excited about this.
And we're gonna do a radio show.
Right.
Live at TD Bank.
Going to record
TD
a show.
Park
play it back on Sunday.
But if you're at the park, come and see our tent and come say hello.
Definitely.
And watch the show live if they're allowed in.
Right, right.
But, yeah, no, it'll be a good time.
And it's a beautiful ballpark. TD Bank Park is just really, for minor leagues, you know, I've been there several times, and they do an amazing job.
They have Spencer Jones.
Yeah, right.
Probably number one prospect.
Right.
And Elijah Dunham. He won the minor league player of the week.
I know his name. What is he? What's his position? I don't even know.
I believe he's first base or third base, but he's he won the minor league player of the week the last 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
I'll have signed balls by him there, but he'll be maybe on a show. Who knows what kind of guests we're gonna get for the show too.
We're working on all that with our wonderful station manager there, Jack Myatt, putting this together, helping us out. Thank you very much, sir. But again, if you have, so we have two pairs of tickets for Thursday night game. Call in now, 732-545-9282, or go, you could even check in on Coffee Sports Collectibles.
Right, on Facebook.
Right.
Or Instagram.
Right. So there's ways to get the tickets, but we want you guys to have them and come by and see us, and we'll go from there. It's going to be a great experience.
Watch the Patriots. Great game Thursday night.
And they're the Yankees double A affiliate. So
exactly.
you can't get better than that. So
which Yankees are going to be there?
Middle of the summer, all that good stuff, man. It's going to be great. You know?
Exactly. Midsummer Classic.
Yeah. That's our Midsummer Classic on the JTVT Express Show. That's great. And speaking, okay, thank you, Yo. That was a great Coffee's Corner. And there we go. Now, is that French vanilla or is that cinnamon red?
We've never got a back-to-back, you know what I mean?
Good job, Jack. We got extra coffee today. But, no, that's great stuff. So, hopefully, call in and grab those tickets, you know. But speaking of, well, we got a couple of minutes left here with... speaking of the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby and such, we had Todd Frazier on last week. Right?
Right.
And then, you know, as a former Home Run Derby champion, right? And then he was announcing it, actually.
Yes.
I have to admit, I finally got back into it, maybe because we know Todd now. But I kind of got a – Billy, did you watch any of the Home Run Derby contests?
Oh, yeah. I watched that all the time.
You did?
I think it's the best All-Star game of all the sports.
Yeah.
I really – you know, because I've looked at the NBA, NFL.
Right.
Everybody, hockey. And very few times did they go full speed on the other sports. And so
right.
It takes away from the game. Even the WNBA last night went more full speed than the NBA does.
But right.
I thought it was great for baseball. I thought it was a shot in the arm. And I think it's going to bring more people to the game if they can see that on a regular basis. And then the game itself was a good game.
So yeah.
I totally enjoyed the whole weekend. I mean, the whole Monday, Tuesday.
I was saying that night on social about the All-Star, the baseball All-Star game. It, you know what it does for me? It brings me back to my ute, as we call it, right? You know, back to ute and Jersey here. But, right, to me, the biggest thing was always the introduction of the players. Now, that was before all the cable, because I'm old. That was before, you know, cable and all these, we talk about
streaming
services, nonsense.
Right.
And right, Billy, and you, and... I used to love when they would come out along the first baseline and third baseline, and you get to see the guys, you know, Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell, Willie McCovey, I don't know, whoever. But I'm just saying.
Way to date yourself.
Yeah, well, those were the guys. They were the guys. And then you could go into the 90s and the Yankee guys and all that. But it was incredible. Now, but here's the thing, and I just said that. The uniforms.
Oh, my God. No, you are under the man.
Billy, you comment on the uniforms.
I hate these uniforms.
What did you think of that?
Go back to the old ways.
Yeah.
Just wear your uniform. Wear. If you're the away team, National League, whatever, you wear the...
Right. The Yankee pinstripe.
Which first off, if we're going to go the uniforms, how about even everyone wears their gray uniforms on a road with their... when they maybe a little color, but can we get rid of the gray uniforms?
I know, that's another thing.
I know. To keep my back on that, the All-Star game, as you go back to wearing your team uniform. And but otherwise, the Home Run Derby was great. I think it's, you know, it's always there. And the All-Star games, it is. They played a real game because you can't, in football, you can't do 60%. But in baseball, like, you can't throw a ball 60%. You have to throw the ball.
Right.
So it's kind of the real game, to Billy's point. It's more of the real game than the other one.
Right.
Like hockey does 3-on-3, football does flag football. They don't play the real
can't
sports.
Beat each other up.
So baseball has the most purest, best All-Star game.
Yeah, but I thought, say if you came from Mars or you know, somewhere in space and you'd never seen the game, you would have thought it was a highlighted softball game.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, because some of the softball uniforms that I've worn over the years look just like that.
Right. That's what it was.
I thought that the Major League Baseball did a bad job on that because
people
identify with, you know, players and numbers and there was no indication of what team was what, and I understand what they're trying to do because they're trying to, you know, kind of make appeal to the younger audience.
Yeah, it's all about the younger audience.
Yeah.
But I just thought they could do a better job with the uniforms because I thought that was kind of ridiculous.
The only thing you knew, Billy, was the logo on their caps.
Yep,
that was like it.
I agree, but the big story here is Billy talks to people from Mars, so this is the big, this is breaking news right there.
Well, women are from Venus, men are from Mars, something like that. It's one of
them. One of them.
It's one of those, right? But yeah, but it's true though, right, guys? Now, come on, you guys are, all right, I'm probably the oldest in this group right here, but weren't you the same way with the All-Star Game, Billy and you, back in the day?
What do you mean, the same
with
thing?
I love the introductions.
Introductions, I would rather just watch the introduction than maybe not watch the game.
I
love that, too. I did love that.
I do.
They should hire that guy who does the boxing matches. He's over in Europe now.
Yeah, but I just saw him on something.
Michael Buffer?
Yeah, I think they should bring
Buffer?
Him in
Michael
just
Buffer.
To do the players. Because
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think they got to, because even the announcer for the Yankees, he used to do the Giants. He died a bunch of years ago.
Bob Shepard.
He was a great announcer with a voice. Even John
Sterling.
John Sterling could have done a
bit.
I just thought it could have. I mean, I like the introductions because it lets you see all the players. And you know, baseball's localized now, so you only get the Yankees and the Mets. Or you get a little bit of Philly down there if you have the right channel.
But,
I just think that they could have done a better job on that. But the introductions, like I said, is a major point that people tune in for that time.
Yeah,
100%.
I don't know if they focus on it as much as they used to then because we were excited about it, but I don't know. Yeah, the game was a good game, though. I mean, it was back in, you know, because it was a home runs at the first couple of innings there.
Right.
And
but the Skeens Judge matchup, which only won one pitch, but that was like which the American League should have batted Judge second and third just so that you had that matchup. You may not see that matchup ever.
Do you like – now? Okay, in the All-Star game, do you like when these guys are mic'd? And Billy, you played. So, in football, obviously a little different. They do mic them, and it comes on later on. But what do you guys think about the microphone? In the All-Star game, it's a little different. But some of these Fox games, the games of the week, they have them with the microphone. I don't know. Do you like it or not? I don't know.
The reason I like it is because so many people want to get personalized information, and I think that's the best way to do it. Everybody who ever does this is prepped to do it. I mean, whether it's a manager or a player, they tell them way before the game what's going to happen.
Right.
They tell their teammates so they won't say anything negative in the mic. So I like it because it really gives you insight during the course of the game.
True.
Instead of, you know, even as a reporter, I wouldn't get my information till after the game.
Right.
So I just think I think it's a good thing that's going to be there for a while.
Yes.
And you're having so many people, networks and streamlines that you got to have a reason for people to tune in.
Right. As a fan, I love it. I think as a player, I don't know if I would like it so much, but especially if you make an error.
But you get the option. You don't have to do it if you're a player.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, I mean, as a fan, I love to hear that stuff. I just thought, you know, but now if you make an error during the, now you're going to blame the, as long as you don't blame the interview, because if you, like you said, you're saying yes to it, then I'm okay with that too, though. But
the one other thing, too, we brought this up before. Actually, the heck with this. We'll talk about it another time. It's about that with the home runs, the distance and the height and the.
Good tease.
I know, and I don't want to keep saying I'm old because I'm not that old. But
you shouldn't even say that. You're about to die.
Because, right, Billy? But
you
I hate that.
Jump off the bridge.
Does that matter? The Yankee Stadium was 296 down the right field line or whatever it was, or left. You know, it was like, you know, what's the difference? It's a home run.
Yep.
So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 475 feet.
Each fan is it. How about like Fenway with the green
monster?
Which I think is stupid. Though. The only thing that's stupid is the Mets. The Mets with the stupid line.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that line.
It should be a fence. If it's over the fence, home run. Not over the fence, not a home run. It's very simple.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. We got 1 minute, though. Okay, we got to bring this up, though. Olympics start. The Paris Olympics start. Opening ceremonies this Friday.
NBA better wake up.
Do we care? Do we like it? We have 1 minute, so just
I love the Olympics every 4 years.
I love it.
I love the I like both of them, summer and winter, but summer really brings out the best in some of the great athletes.
And with Paris as the background,
super place.
Right? And you know, did you see what they're doing with the opening ceremony? Instead of like how they walk into a stadium.
Coming in boats.
They're going to come in the boats down the Seine River.
That's awesome.
Right? Right into the Eiffel Tower. That's unbelievable. That's going to be great. So I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too.
Go USA. Okay.
Guys, that was great. Ann was incredible. Ann Liguori, the book Life on the Green. Go get that from Amazon, wherever. Right. Thank you, guys. We had a great show.
See you Thursday in Somerset.
Behind the glass for helping us out there. And we'll be there Thursday, Somerset Patriots.
Somerset Patriots, let's go.
And you can hear the broadcast of that next Sunday. So we're looking forward to it.
Unless you come to the game.
Okay, guys.